So this is John 15, 1 to 5. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. The word of the Lord.
So Jesus says to us in this scripture, I am the vine and my Father is the gardener. We are invited into a garden scene here. We're invited to think seasonally. What season are you in spiritually? What season are we in as a church? For some of you, maybe your personal spiritual season could be like spring, new buds coming, signs of new life. Others of you could be in winter season, a season of pruning, a season of darkness. Or maybe is it autumn, where you're dropping leaves and letting go? Or perhaps the summer season, just checking out completely? Let's ask specifically about Grandview. What is the spiritual season we are in as a church? A year ago, when I came, there were anonymous artists who painted little by little over weeks on our backdrop, new vine growth to symbolize maybe a new season of hope. If we take a long look back, church life, the big C church life, over decades and generations have seasons of growth and flourishing and seasons of dryness and fallowness. So what do you notice presently? We are invited to recognize God's movement among us, to see what gifts God is giving us to receive and extend in this particular season of Grandview's life. This is also our last message in our series on listening and prayer today. Our scripture tells us that prayer is ultimately about relationship. We're reminded that Jesus is our source, our vine. We are the branches. We are invited to connect into this source of life in order to live abundantly and fully. This connection, this abiding, this remaining in Christ is nurtured in prayer and is prayer. When Jesus spoke of himself as the true vine to his disciples, they would have immediately connected these words to what the Hebrew scriptures say about vines and vineyards. The vine was a common image that God would use to refer to the nation of Israel as a people. In Psalm 80, verse 8, it reads, "You, God, brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and you planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took deep root and it filled the land." Then the psalmist goes on to explain how the vine has gone wild and wayward, has been broken, has been cut down. By the time that Jesus came onto the scene, the nation of Israel had been in a very long winter season. And they were looking for signs of spring to come, for a root to come out of a stump. And when Jesus lived on earth, he spoke those words, "I am the true vine. I'm the promise of spring. I am the resurrection and life." This is the most important phrase of that chapter. Jesus is the true vine. Jesus is our source. Jim Houston tells us that maturity in Christ is growing in dependence on God, rather than growing in independence. This is the opposite of growing up in adulthood. As we grow in maturity in Christ, we realize, or we're invited to realize, our dependence, our need for connection, our need to abide, our need to remain with. We're invited to recognize our oneness with God. Growth in prayer, growth in maturing in Christ is about this growth in oneness. It's not as much about believing more that God will answer our prayers. It's not as much, or perhaps it's beyond, getting what we want in prayer. But it's about deepening our dependence, deepening our relationship, deepening our connection, deepening our unity with our source. Jesus says, I am the true vine. And then he goes on and says, my Father is the vine grower. Our Creator God is the gardener. God's hands are the ones that plants and uproots and cultivates and tends the soil. And it's the gardener's hands that also prune. The next verses talk about the work of pruning. And most of us, when we hear pruning, may get a bit nervous. I mean, pruning involves a large, sharp object. Pruning involves cutting back, cutting off those branches that are unproductive. And if in our minds we stretch that metaphor outside of a garden, out of context, we may get anxious and fearful. What if I'm unproductive? Or will God cut me off from this vine? Will I be thrown out and be burned? Our minds can race. Yet if we bring back to this metaphor here of the garden, of the gardener, the skilled gardener, with the aim of producing healthy fruit for enjoyment and nourishment, those of you who are gardeners know that pruning is about redirecting our energy and the strength of the plant so that it is not drained to its death. Some beautiful plants need to be pruned ruthlessly in the winter. If you don't ruthlessly prune, the flowers and the fruit will grow in on themselves. They will get tangled. They will actually produce less then. Pruning the branches encourages the shoots to grow outward toward the light and allows that energy to be concentrated on producing only magnificent, healthy, true beauty. So pruning at first may seem painful. It may seem fallow. It may seem ugly. But it is for the purpose of producing what is most healthy and good in you, in our community, and in this beautiful garden that God is cultivating. So is there something that God is pruning within you? Maybe with prayer. An old idea or belief about prayer that needs to be cut off. A practice that does not serve you anymore. What new prayer practice may be nudging at you, moving you to accept prayer as connection, as dependence, as oneness with the source? Now, we do not like pruning seasons in churches. Pastors do not like pruning seasons. We don't like to cut things down or cut things out. And we, as a community, as a church community, we're much more comfortable. We could easily notice God and point to God moving in seasons of growth and flourishing, in seasons of spring. The pruning season can be a hard season. It's about trusting in the dark. It's like trusting a seed that's planted in that dark soil for a really long time before it bears any fruit. And this pruning season is also a time of rest. Some of us, it's hard to rest. It's a time of patience. A lot of energy and potential is being stored up in that pruning season for just the right time, for something that we can't imagine. It seems that Grandview has recently been in a pruning season. And may that season produce in us a deeper awareness of God with us, even in the fallowness and the pain of the shears. And may it be an invitation to stake deeper into this root of the living vine, to deepen our dependence, our oneness to our source, as we bud and blossom into our present new season. I dare say we are not in the pruning season anymore at Grandview. We are beginning to look forward in our conversations today. This scripture reminds us of what grounds us and roots us as we look into this new season for the Grandview community. Our necessary call as we dream and discern and have conversations for what is ahead is to be attached to the vine, our source, and to let the good gardener work among us. So we are going to be entering these looking forward conversations now in this service, and I invite you all down for soup afterwards as we continue this conversation. Today, we are remembering our vision and our values that we sense God has called Grandview Church to live out. And our overall question in these looking forward conversations is this: how are we being called to live out our vision and values in the next few years? How are we being called to specifically live out our vision and values in the next few years? And Charlie, maybe could you put that slide up that reminds us of our vision and our values? Grandview Church is a community of people who receive and extend the generous welcome of God. And our values are welcome, justice, worship, biblical reflection and prayer, creativity and rest. So in these looking forward conversations, we will not be reworking our vision and values. These have been worked on recently before I came. And a few years' time, we may need to take a careful look at them again, and something could emerge in our conversations this month. But for now, these are the vision and values we'll be starting with that have been given to us. About a month ago, when some of us were on retreat, Charlie led a Sunday service prayer around our vision and values, and we are going to offer this again now during this time in a similar way. And also, if you are part of a home group, you may have also done this in your home group, or there's a guide to do this in the next weeks ahead. This is an important time to collectively look for God's movement and God's Spirit nudging us to how we are being connected to our vision and values. So I invite you into this conversation. Even if you have just come to this church this last few weeks or last few months, we value your thoughts and your voice in this conversation as well. So we'll have three different parts to this morning before we go downstairs. For the first part, I invite you just to have a conversation with one or two people around you, around the vision. And this is the question: where have you received the generous welcome of God? And where have you extended it this past year? Where have you received the generous welcome of God? And or where have you extended it? And I invite people who are more comfortable in this space, who've been here for a longer time, to kind of look out for people who maybe are newer or are not sitting by somebody. So just we'll take about 3 minutes or so for you to have a conversation with one or two people. You can get up and move around and find that little group on this question. Where have you received the generous welcome of God, and where have you extended it this past year? Thank you, everyone. Let's take time now at this third part just to respond to the Spirit within after this moment of reflection and just pray for what is ahead. So if there is something that you sense, a value here, or another prayer that you have for our looking forward conversations, I invite you just to pray that prayer out loud be listening to that spirit of what is nudging you, what is nudging your prayer this morning. Let's pray. God, thank you for your spirit here among us. We ask that you bring to our minds and hearts and bodies these values that you are calling us to strengthen in this year ahead. So we listen to you now and we pray to you now about what is ahead.